Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Acts 19, verse 11. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul so that even handkerchiefs and aprons who had touched him were taken to the sick and their illnesses were cured and evil spirits left them. Whoa, verse 13. Some Jews went around driving out evil spirits, tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a chief priest, were doing this. One day, evil spirit answered them and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you? And the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all and gave them such a beating. Everybody say, such a beating. Such a beating. That even they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord was held in high honor, and many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, they came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Read verse 20, the last verse for tonight. Together, let's read it. In this way, the word of the Lord spread and grew in power. Father, move in power. Let the word of the Lord spread widely tonight in this way. We thank you for it. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Quick review of Wednesday, we find that when we look at the Apostle Paul and we study his life and we read the book of Acts and we see that everywhere he went, God broke out in this way. It's common when you say, what way? In the way that we read about. So when it says in the text, in this way, you go back and read really the whole chapter 19. We just took it from verse 11. It's in this way that the word of the Lord spread. Signs, wonders, miracles, devils being cast out, people being healed. How do you think the word of the Lord spreads today? In this way. That's how the word of the Lord spreads. It's how God has intended it to happen. So everywhere he would go, like for instance in Acts 14, in Iconium, many believed, but there's lots of opposition. There's always a revival and there's always a riot. It's always what happens when Paul shows up. Anytime the gospel comes anywhere, there's people getting set free, people getting healed, people getting delivered, and people like Wolfbane 555, who he's all irritated online and just wants to say that we're a cult while he smokes his weed and does whatever he does. You know, I'm sure your life is really great. And I don't care about whether people are opposed to what's happening. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Years ago, we were ministering in a retirement, I think it was a hospital, actually. We were in a hospital, and there was this precious lady, Sister Hasagawa. Yes, and that's all I'll say. And she was in the fetal position in her room, and there was a nurse that was, just, I don't know, she had a large crystal around her neck. I just have a tendency to think, not that I'm against crystals around your neck, but I think she might have worshipped it. I think she was New Age and was not exactly happy about us preaching Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected, the gospel of the kingdom. She was clearly not happy about it. And she was mocking us a little bit. So we said, we're going to go into this next room. Oh, you're going to go in there? Go ahead. Well, little did we know, Sister Hasagawa was deaf. He didn't tell us that. We went in. We preached the gospel to her. She nodded. She prayed the sinner's prayer. She got saved. Tears running down her face. I later made the connection that when I had first gotten saved, I had witnessed to this lady who was a Buddhist for years, witnessed to her. And then 10 years fast forward, maybe 15 years fast forward, she's in the hospital where there we are. We led her to Christ and we came out. We didn't know she was deaf. We came out and the nurse is like, did you have a good time? We're like, it was amazing. She received Jesus. Fantastic. Well, really, she's deaf. I said, well, I guess she's not deaf anymore. And the lady's face just fell. You know, Mrs. Hasegawa died 3 days later, went on to be with Jesus. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power unto salvation, and there's always opposition. Consider it not strange, beloved, as James says. You're going to face all kinds of trials. So in Iconium, in Philippi, in Acts 16, deliverance of a slave girl also brought imprisonment. It's kind of crazy. You go read that Acts 16. This girl who had a spirit of divination is walking behind Paul and Luke, of course, because he wrote the book of Acts under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the slave girl is saying, behold these men who show the way of salvation. Hear them. And after many days, Paul being greatly annoyed. You know, a demon spirit doesn't necessarily mean is lying. Demons can also tell the truth. Paul, being greatly annoyed, turned around and said to the spirit, everything she was saying was right, but it was a demon spirit. He rebuked the spirit, she got set free, and her ability to tell the future was removed. And the owners of the slave girl were mad because she made a lot of money for them, and they're irritated at the loss of money. Some people worship money, worship mammon. So a riot breaks out. They end up in prison. In Thessalonica, in Acts 17, large number persuaded. Verse 4 and 5, there's opposition. In Ephesus, the text that we read about takes place in Ephesus. These believers confess their wicked deeds, and there's a lot of upset. How many of you had problems or challenges with your family after you got born again and got gloriously saved? We were like, I don't know, you might have been the black sheep in your family. Then all of a sudden, you know, you're not running out drinking Jack Daniels anymore. And everybody gets all bent out of shape that you're not living for the devil. You know what a scapegoat is? And I've found many times the Lord saves the family scapegoat. A scapegoat is someone who's blamed for everything. And when in a family someone gets who's blamed for everything, or he's a troublemaker, or he's a black sheep, how many of you know what I'm talking about? And that person gets saved, then the whole family dynamics change because you can't pin him or her anymore because they're like going to church, they're tithing, walking the blessing of God. They have a permagrin on all the time. Hey, guys, how's it going? They're just filled with joy. Let me give you a definition of what an awakening is, and then I'm going to read you a little paragraph I put together. Awakening is a broad, society-wide impact of revival and outpouring. It goes beyond the church. It happens to move into places of culture, transforming communities, cities, and even nations. There have been a number of great awakenings in our time. Why are you saying this? Because something happened. It was being set up with the change of the administration, thank God, and then it's being set up by different pockets of fire and revival all across college campuses. Some of them got shut down over the past few years. But God pouring out his spirit in college campuses and universities. And Charlie Kirk gets shot. And to quote my friend, he wasn't murdered, he was martyred. And I don't know, you know, if it was a deep state thing or whatever, I don't know. But I'm confident that what the enemy meant for it to happen has not taken place. There has been this incredible surge of people being louder for their faith, being more bold. I see freedom t-shirts everywhere. I see people, even this morning, I saw some people wearing shirts that said, I am Charlie Kirk. People rising up to speak, to teach, to declare. I was in the sauna, and I told this story a number of times. For my sauna friends, you'll enjoy it. I'm telling my testimony to two listeners there. Sauna was exceptionally hot that day. And as I'm telling my testimony, in walks a fourth guy. So I'm witnessing, telling my story to two guys either side of me. Getting to the close to the end. Going to give an opportunity for them to hear the gospel really plain and clear, which many people haven't. Many people have not heard the simple truth of Jesus Christ crucified. On the third day, he rose again. Repent of your sin. Believe Jesus. He will forgive you and you'll be saved. That's it. I don't know why we have to put this, so many have to put so much more on it, but I'm getting to this simple gospel truth. And in walks a fourth guy. He sits behind me, and after 30 seconds, he says, come on, I feel like I'm in Sunday school for God's sake. And he just stopped. And I turn around to say something, and one of the guys I'm witnessing to takes great offense. And because of the string of curses that came out of his mouth, and the way that he acted, I perceived that he didn't know the Lord. He turns around, holding the towel. Hey, why don't you shut up? You just got here. He's telling his life story. Go ahead. And the other guy said, no, you know what? It's a freak. He said, you know what? Shut up. Hey, you know, and if not, I'm going to do something about it. And it ends up being all these men with towels standing there. And it's just finally, I finally get up. I got to get out. I can't stay in there anymore. It's too hot. Otherwise, you're going to need somebody to save me. And that's happened. Not for me. I get out before I pass out. I've seen people like, and they fall over. And you have to drag the naked man out of the thing. It's terrible. It's horrible. Very defiling. Lift your hands to Jesus and go like that. Go like that. I turned around. I said to the guy, I said, you know what? I'm not ashamed of telling my story or the good news about Jesus. He said, yeah, I know. But I said, but listen, I'm going to stop telling the story because I can't stay in here anymore. I got to get out. Otherwise, y'all gonna have to drag me out. So I gotta get out right now. And so I got out, and both two guys get out, and they're all standing there, and the guy says, finish the story. There's more to that that I can't tell you, but thank God there wasn't blood on the walls and a fight. Whenever the gospel's preached, there is opposition that comes. And I do believe that there is a greater boldness in people to share their faith. And I pray that you would step up in this hour and share your faith. If we were to take a survey to find out how many people here have led somebody to Christ, it would be, the number would be very low. And the reason is because I think we think maybe somebody else is going to do it, or maybe the evangelist is going to come through. The church grew tremendously because people everywhere they went shared their faith and demonstrated it. And what? And demonstrated it. The hippie movement that took place back in the 70s, and the Jesus movement, they would hitchhike, long hair, Jesus people. And everywhere they went, they would share the gospel. They'd share Jesus. They're constantly talking about Jesus. When I first heard about Jesus, I was at a school playground. I have no idea where the teachers were and the security. Not like our school. We have teachers and security everywhere. But back then in the 70s, I don't know. It was like free range child raising. You just let you run everywhere. Be home when it's dark. We don't live in that era anymore. And I'm there near some swings. I know exactly where it is. If I could go to the playground, if it still existed, I could show you exactly where it is. I was there, and these three hippies came up with tie-dyes and some tracks, and they walked up, and this guy's like, hey, man. I'm like, stranger. And he said, hey, man, just want to tell you that Jesus really loves you. I'm like, Oh, he's got a plan for your life. Jesus died on a cross. They told us the gospel. They just told it to us. And I didn't know the difference at that time, being a little Catholic boy back then. But I felt God's power. The Jesus movement became a Jesus movement because everybody talked about him. I want to encourage you to talk about Christ, to witness, because these awakenings, which we're going to look at here for a moment and we'll get into the text, there's been a number of awakenings in this nation and around the world. The first great awakening took place in the 1730s, 1740s, and I shared some of this on Wednesday. Jonathan Edwards. While in Enfield, Connecticut, Edwards quietly read his text. I'm not quietly reading anything right now. In a very monotone voice, he turned to his text and he began to read a message entitled, Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. And while he quietly read, not extemporaneous preaching, he was not that day. Extemporaneous preaching is very bold, very loud, very dramatic. Extemporaneous. It wasn't that. It was quietly reading a manuscript. While he quietly read a manuscript, heaven fell on that congregation. And people began to wail. You can read the stories about, suddenly it says, here's what he writes. Suddenly cries broke out as people clutched the pews, fearing they would fall into hell at that very moment. Men and women lay prostrate, groaning for mercy, while others rejoice in forgiveness. It's the first great awakening. George Whitefield was another pastor and evangelist and preacher. Whitefield, he's one of the first ones that went outside. They wouldn't receive him in churches. It's the same today. It's the same today where there's a great outpouring and God uses particular people. Many times they're not allowed into mainline churches, mainline denominational churches. They're going to mess up their religion. Now, that's not the case here. We have a revival history, and that's why there's a freedom and a zeal and a passion. And that's why we're not afraid of just saying it. We're going to say it. It can be offensive sometimes. Anybody ever been offended at church? If you haven't been, you soon will be. Because God wants to offend the thing in you that's not working. The porn problem you have. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm looking up over your heads. The greed problem you have. The anger problem you have. George Whitefield was locked out of churches and he had this crazy idea that had never been done before since the time of Jesus. Jesus was an outdoor preacher. He went outside and thousands began to gather. Outdoor sermons. It drew tens of thousands. Coal miners stood weeping in England, tears cutting white streaks through their blackened faces. In America, Benjamin Franklin, they had no sound system. Benjamin Franklin tested the acoustics of George Whitefield in America, and he was amazed that he could be heard a mile away. His voice could carry to speak to clearly 30,000 people, and they had gatherings like that. I mean, we're all impressed by large stadiums and all of that. It's amazing, and I pray more and more show up. But the kind of unction and kind of anointing that was on these men of God, I believe is coming back on a generation. I believe that God is raising up George Whitefields again. Charlie Kirk's again. I believe God is raising up a people who will not shy back, not shy away, will be bold in the demonstration and declaration of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Shout to God in the house tonight. You believe that? Say amen. John Wesley in London. It is said that John Wesley's heart was strangely warmed as he read through the notes of Martin Luther concerning the book of Romans. And he realized that salvation is by faith alone, by grace alone. His personal breakthrough fueled the Methodist movement. spreading revival across England and into the colonies. The second Great Awakening was in the 1790s and through the 1830s. Charles Finney, a lawyer, studying to be a lawyer. He used to study the Bible to be a lawyer. And in the course of his studies, became a believer. This is history. This is revival history. Life-changing encounter with God in 1821. He abandoned the law to preach in Rochester, New York, 1830 to 1831. Over 1,000 converts in just a few months, including nearly every influential leader. Wow. Bars closed, crime stopped, and business leaders testified to transform communities. It is said that he would go into factories and into mills to preach to them if the owner would let him. And many times he would walk into the factory, walk into the mill, and conviction would fall on the workers before he ever even said anything. And they would weep and be on their knees all through the factory before he ever preached. The power of God. I believe the power of God is coming upon our country like that again. I believe it's starting maybe even here. Who knows? Who knows what'll happen with this horrible tragedy, the loss of these villages and these people being displaced. Who knows what could happen if we could just reach them? Who knows? God's pouring out his spirit in America, and I'm so glad I'm alive at this hour. I'm so glad I'm alive at this hour in history. More young adults are coming to Christ than we can remember. They said that Christianity was on decline. Well, you think about who's giving those statistics. Crystal rubbing, leftist, nut job news people who want nothing to do. Did I say that? Who want nothing to do with Christianity, want nothing to do with Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage? The nations rage against God, against his precepts. But I love Psalm 2. It says, he who sits in Zion laughs. I've enthroned my king in Zion. Such a powerful passage of scripture. It's a messianic psalm. It's a royal psalm written about King David and his descendants when they would be crowned. I believe we're headed for a great outpouring. Here's interesting. Upstate New York. I'm from New York originally, born in New York City on the Lower East Side. At St. Vincent's Hospital, well, upstate New York, they had revivals break out that covered these whole large swaths and areas, and they called them the Burned Over District. Burned over because everyone in those districts had been touched by the fire of the Holy Spirit and were born again. Whole areas. Could that happen again? The Bible says, until all of Asia heard the word of the Lord. All of Asia. All of Asia heard the word of the Lord in a 2-year period of time. There is some that believe we've had a third great awakening. Some don't call it a third great awakening, but in 1857 to 1858, there was this noontime prayer meeting. It started with 6 people. That ought to encourage everyone. 6 people came to their life group. A prayer meeting at noon at some church. Within weeks, thousands filled the prayer meeting at noon to pray. It is said that up to 10,000 businessmen in New York were meeting daily at the prayer meeting. Businesses closed at noon in Manhattan so they could gather to pray. How is that? This is part of the history of America. The Shouting Methodists, I think about in Kentucky, the Cane Ridge River Revival. You ever heard about those stories? Amazing. They were totally persecuted by the traditional church. And they would get touched by God and they would start shouting. You know why the Shakers are called the Shakers? Anybody ever heard of Shakers as a denomination? You know why they're called Shakers? Because the power of God would come on some of them and they would shake. Then they made it like a thing, like you'd have to shake. You don't have to shake, but if the power of God comes on you, you might. The fire and the power of God has touched denominations, and then denominations like make doctrine out of it, and then they make it dead. Build walls, make rules, regulations, and they lose the fire. They lose the passion. May we never lose the fire. The proverb says, he who wanders out of the way of understanding will rest in the congregation of the dead. It's the spirit that brings life. It's the letter that kills. And we need the word. We need the letter, but we need the spirit. If all you do is have the word, then you're going to dry up. If all you do is have the spirit, then you will blow up. Does anybody know anybody that's blown up? Anybody know someone who's dried up? Lots of dried up people. Probably one of my favorite things to do is to preach to a group of people that are full of the word. They're like a tinder box with gasoline on it. You just got to go. You just got to throw one little match and the whole place goes. I believe that the US of A is a tinder box. Peter Cartwright, 1785 to 1872, is called a frontier preacher. He's really a part of the second Great Awakening, but he was nicknamed the backwoods preacher, the frontier preacher, a fiery Methodist circuit riding preacher. He traveled on horseback. They would, anybody ever ride horses? Anybody know anything about horses and saddles? They'd wear out a saddle in 6 months. Gone, broken. The saddle's broken, got to get another one. And some more than that. They'd ride hundreds of miles. People were like, well, they don't have any church near me. They live in Anchorage. I don't have any church I can go to that's on fire. It's 45 miles away. They would ride horses longer than that to get to a church service. Well, you know, when you're hungry, you'll get there. A church that's alive is worth the drive. Cartwright was bold. I think he was like 6'5". There's stories about him going into little villages and towns where they're drinking and partying and having large square dances and things like that. And he walked in to one place in Kentucky, stood in the middle of the square dance hall while they're square dancing. Some woman wanted to dance with him. And he said, no. And he lifted his lanky hands up to heaven and said, oh God! And the fire fell and people began to fall out all over the square dance place. Many, many got saved. So many stories. This text that we're looking at is a beautiful text. Let me read this to you. It's this paragraph I put together. When God pours out his spirit, it's like rain falling from heaven upon the earth. Revival happens as the church drinks deeply and comes alive. Awakening breaks forth when that life of God overflows like a mighty river, changing the landscape, changing the culture. This text shows us a dynamics of outpouring. Obedience to the way the Lord brought about this move of God in the church. This is still review. God spoke to him. So he wanted to go to Ephesus with the Apostle Paul, but then he didn't. The Holy Spirit said no. The Holy Spirit stopped him. Makes no logical sense because in his mind, the people of Asia, which we know now as Turkey, had not received the good news of Jesus. So it makes perfect sense to go there, except for the Holy Spirit said no. The right thing at the wrong time is wrong thing. God sets him up and he gives him an apostolic team. When the time is right, he ends up in Ephesus. God has a timing. And Paul empowered people to help in the work. There's people helping. He trained people. He went, and these are the verses that we didn't read. We started at verse 11. You look at those verses before that, 1 through 10. It was met with opposition, so they met daily in the meeting hall of Tyrannus. What do they do in the meeting hall? They had a noontime prayer meeting like they did in Manhattan. Think about it that way. They had a time where they talked about the word and they trained and they taught them. And people were impacted. People got discipled every day. Every day they went to their life group. Every day they went to morning prayer. Every day they went to those meetings and God powerfully impacted. Why are you telling us this? Because I believe that we're on the edge of something here in Wasilla. I believe we're on the edge of something here in the state of Alaska, and I'm going to call it an awakening. I believe something is happening across America and Alaska is going to play its part. Shout to God, amen. I remember Dr. Morocco said this, Pastor, and you might remember it. He said, Pastor Daniel, revival is a perception. I thought, what do you mean by that? If people perceive that there's an awakening, perceive that there's revival, there is. You might get that on the way home. I mean, what is it going to look like when there's a real awakening, when a real revival? I think that we don't have enough chairs. I think it'll look like that. But I think we have the earmarks of the beginnings of that, not just here, all across the state, all across America. God is pouring out his spirit. People are being stirred. It's not a one-man show. It's not a one-man show anymore. It's a saints movement. It's you getting a hold of your God-given, blood-bought authority, understanding who you are in Christ and using your own hand to lay hands on someone else to see them recover. It's not waiting for the guy who's got the comb over and the white suit. It's you being used of God, as unusual as you are. And you know you're unusual. God has peculiar people. It's God using you. God putting super on your natural and you being supernatural. You having a burden. I won't do it, but because it would seem like some sort of a sideshow, but I know for a fact that Pastor Timothy is deeply burdened for the people of Alaska. So I was to call you up right now and get you to start to talk about that. And when you had all those faces come before you in Florida all those years ago, he will start to weep uncontrollably. And if he gives himself to it, will end up in travail. Do you know what travail is? Ladies, that's when you are in the last moments of giving birth or in the transition phase of giving birth to your child. That's what travail is like. And he would end up in this prayer and this travail. That's called a burden, a God-given burden. I believe that the Lord is doing that in people all across our state, all across the nation. All right. There's an emphasis on the importance of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Acts 19, verse 5 through 7, Paul lays hands on them. He says, if you receive the Holy Spirit since you first believed. Again, this is verses that we did not read. It's just before that. The dynamics of an awakening. He laid hands on them. They thought they were believers. How did they think they were believers? I guess they were behaving believer-like. Because it doesn't really say. I don't know. It comes upon some believers. He asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they're like, we haven't even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. He said, well, what baptism did you receive? Oh, John the Baptist baptism. And Paul says, that's a baptism of repentance. He pointed to Jesus. Have you not received Jesus? No. Oh, well, you need to receive him right now. They're like, awesome. They get born again. And then he lays hands on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he's not an it, he's not a dove. He's the third part of the Trinity, the one who raised Jesus from the dead, and he's available for you to fill you full of power. Look at verse 9. Some of them were obstinate. This is Acts 19, 9. Some of them obstinate refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. You know, some people you need to leave. Some people you need to say aloha, adios, sayonara, goodbye. That's English. It's a great day when you just step away from people who are obstinate. I mean, you don't have to be rude about it. You just keep serving God and you just limit the access that they have to your life. You know, you ghost them here and there, invite them to church. But I think ghosting is good for for certain ones. I remember a preacher friend said, some of you have got phone numbers in your phone right now, and you should just put on, you should just change their name to do not answer number one. Then you could have do not answer number two. Do not answer number three. Why? Because every time you answer, they want to pick a fight with you. There are certain people, they have my number, they call me because they want to argue. I had somebody say this to me. Pastor, it was a message on Facebook, which I don't generally see, but I happen to see it. Don't message me on Facebook. I don't read them. So, Wolfsbane, have fun. I did see this one, happened to see this one. And it said, Pastor, I'm lonely or I'm all alone. We were talking about it on the way to church. This is somebody that's bounced in and out of the church for years. And I answered and said, come back to church. You don't have to be all alone. They were obstinate to Paul. He turned and he took disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. There was a flow of miracles, extraordinary miracles. And I shared this on Wednesday. We took this scripture and preached about the anointing and how it's transferable. It's like electricity. Some things are good conduits of electricity. Some things are not. We took this text and how it says that they took aprons, extraordinary miracles, verse 11, 12. And we had people bring bread to church on a Sunday night. And everybody brought loaves of bread. They went out and got loaves of bread and they brought it to church and we anointed, lay hands on all the bread gently. We didn't want to mash it or anything. And one lady had like, I don't know, four loaves of Wonder Bread. It was Wonder Bread, which I think is hysterical. Signs and Wonder was Wonder Bread. We laid hands on the Wonder Bread, and as I shared on Wednesday, she went peanut butter and jelly, made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for all of her troubled teens. She was over this house that was around the corner from the church. Went over there and fed them anointed peanut butter and jelly with Wonder Bread. And they all ended up coming to the church and they all ended up getting born again. All these troubled youth. I think, if I remember correctly, I don't want to exaggerate, 12 to 15 of them. And do you know what happened? They began to get touched. They were getting set free. They were getting delivered. They were from broken homes, broken families. They had been couch surfing. It's just, they were hurting. And what ended up happening is there was another Christian at that group home that raised a complaint against the co-worker who had brought them to King's and said, why do all the students have to go to King's? I want them to come to my church. Pitched a fit. And then what ended up happening is they stopped them from going to any church. Flash forward 12 plus years later, I had a woman walk in the church and she was crying. And she said, do you remember me? And honestly, I didn't. She said, I was one of those kids in that group home and I gave my heart to Jesus and I've not followed God, but I want to. Seeds, the anointing, extraordinary miracles of healing broke out. We've seen many extraordinary miracles. It's a dynamic of an awakening. That's what happens. People witnessing to Jesus, that's what happens. This is dynamic miracles and the casting out of demons. Verse 15. One day an evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know and Paul I know about, but who are you? I think it's Pastor Colleen said, you need to be known in heaven and feared in hell. They were using the name of Jesus like a lucky rabbit foot. Don't do that. It's very dangerous. Incidents where the Lord was held in high honor. People feared the Lord, desired to be holy. Somebody said, well, why didn't they fear the Lord before? Because it's believers that start to burn all that stuff. We've had burnings here before. I mean, burn barrels where you bring your stuff in that needs to be torched. Maybe we need to do that again. On Wednesday, if you want to burn something, you go ahead and bring it. We'll have a burn barrel, and you don't have to tell everybody what it's all about. You just have it in a little brown paper bag. Try to eliminate plastic if at all possible. You want to burn something on Wednesday, I'm going to have a burn barrel. And I'm going to preach on some deliverance and freedom. Don't miss Wednesday. And we'll set that stuff on fire. Some of you need to burn something. There's some books that need to be burned. There's some books that should never be burned, but Anton LaVey's Satanic Bible should be burned. There's other things that need to be burned. There's clothes you might have that you need to, you're like, I hope we keep dragging in all these black bags and stuff. I hope so, so you can get set free. Come on, some of you need to get rid of some stuff. You have things that are given to you by your old flame. And you like it, piece of jewelry. Don't burn that. You can turn that in. We'll bring it to the pawn shop, cash it in, and we'll help add it to the fund to finish the water main. You drop gold. You can drop rings and stuff. Some of you need to get rid of some stuff. It's like a little disease on you. It's a defiled object. And every time you look at it, you might not realize it. But when you look at it, it reminds you of whatever it reminds you of. Wednesday. Calling an audible. Facility guys, I need a couple burn barrels. You bring some stuff. We're gonna set some things on fire. You got stuff you got to get rid of. You bring it. Again, gold. Just drop that in the offering. Silver as well. Plastic. Try not to bring plastic. But we're going to burn stuff. Because some of you need to be set free. You need to get rid of it. It's essential that we end up being cleansed and confessing evil deeds. These are believers that did it. They publicly did it. Worship team, would you come? 50,000 drachmas. It's worth millions today. Millions. Millions of dollars. I think about Pastor Karen. When she came to Christ, first church service she ever came to, she got saved. Very first service. She walked up front, never saw anybody fall out, get touched by God where you end up on the ground. Never saw that before. Never saw it. Because it hadn't happened. She'd never been in the church service where that happened. It's her first service. She comes to the front. My beautiful wife was deeply bound by a cult religion. It was this Eastern mysticism and following these two gurus that had demons speak through them. And some of you have heard her testimony. It's radical. So she gets saved that day. And while they're praying for her, she buckles and goes under the power of God. It's on the ground. I'm like, whoa, that was a date. I don't even hardly know the girl. I brought her to church. You know, I thought she was fine. I brought her. She falls out. I'm like, whoa, wow, praise the Lord. And she like gets up. Huh. Had no idea what happened. Thought maybe she fell or something. We began to help her grow in the things of God along with others like Mindy Leib. And she had so many things that she needed to get rid of. She used to make these malas. You know what a mala is? It's a beaded necklace that they use. So she had all of these special beads for making these malas. She had all this stuff that she needed to get rid of. So we got a 55-gallon barrel. And we went down to the beach, threw the 55-gallon barrel in the back of a pickup truck, went down to the beach, and she got all her stuff, all of it, and it was like a pile. It three-quarters filled the 55-gallon drum. We lit it on fire, and it began to burn. And I mean, it got so intense. I'm talking different colors and sounds coming out of that thing, and I just sat there praying in tongues. Karen's like, oh my God. These hisses and squirrel screeches. And you could just feel demons fleeing and running and breaking. We stayed as long as we could. And honestly, it just kept burning. And we felt like we need to leave. So we left. I went back the following morning. It wasn't quite done burning out. We had had it at the beach. Something radically changed for her. All of a sudden, that darkness that was on her was like gone. Some of you toy with things that you should not toy with. You need to get rid of it. It's called repentance. It's called confession of evil deeds. And the reason the church didn't do it before this moment is because they didn't have a fear of the Lord. They didn't fear the Lord. They thought, well, Lord knows my heart. Yeah, he knows your heart. It's deceitfully wicked, according to Jeremiah. It's black, dark. I believe we're heading for an awakening. I'm going to have an awakening, another one in my life. How about you? I'm more hungry, more thirsty, more on fire than I've ever been. I'm a little tired. My vocal cords are a little strained, but my God, I'd rather have it that way than riding off into the sunset with Netflix and a, you know, candy bar or something. You know what I'm talking about? I'm like, seriously, what are you going to do with your life? Let's change the world. Let's have an outpouring. As far as it depends on you. No one said, I'm waiting for revival. You put a circle around you. Have one. Get in the Word. Read the Word. Obey the Word. Spend time seeking God. Pray. Pray until He shows up. You ever done that? You ever gotten on your knees or gone before the Lord with such a burden that you're not going to get up till He comes upon you? I've had moments where I just got cornered. I hate it and I love it. I got cornered where I just said to the Lord, if you don't show up, then like either you can kill me and take me to heaven or show up and show off. I said, I can't do it. I don't have the finances. I'm not nearly smart enough. I need your help. I'm not getting up until you come and do something. And it's in those moments that I've seen some of the most dynamic breakthroughs. Have you set your heart like that? Do you really want your marriage healed? Do you really want your kids saved? Do you really want breakthrough? Do you really want awakening? And the answer is yes. But then are you willing to do? Jesus already died on a cross. He already rose again from the grave. He's not coming to die on a cross again. He did it. Now you take that, apply it to your life and go after God. Take hold of the horns of the altar and cry out and examine yourself so that you don't face judgment later on. Judge yourself now. I'd rather judge myself now than stand before the Son of Man at the end to show account for my life and be found that I've left something undone. Judge yourself now. This is not some little religious game. A lot of people don't serve God with all their heart because they don't have the fear of the Lord. I pray the fear of the Lord comes on you. Comes on me. And that we would seek God. We would allow the Holy Spirit to search us, to know our rising up, to know our setting down. That we would not be a people of prayerlessness, but we would be a people of passion and prayer, fervent prayer. We would be a people that are holy, set apart, for how else will they know who we are? How else will they be able to differentiate us from others? They will know us because of our great love. Who else is going to get buses and go and pick up hundreds and hundreds of people? The cults aren't going to do it, I hope. We're going to beat them to it. How else will they know? We'll go the extra mile. Wednesday night, you bring stuff you need to burn. Facility team, you help me out. Get some barrels. Repentance, confession, renouncing idols. It says that God was held in great honor. And the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. In this way, it is the same way today that the word of the Lord grows. Miracles, signs, wonders, healing, casting out devils, setting the captives free. That's how the gospel moves forward. Don't separate the gospel from God's power. He said, well, I've never had anything happen. Stick around and get hungry. Maybe you're numb. Maybe you've eaten so many things that's sedated you. Maybe you've filled your soul with so many reels and so much defilement that you can't tell which way is up. And you're like, well, how come God doesn't touch me? Maybe you've been touched by so much other stuff. And you have to hear a message like this to just kind of lovingly put a hot stick in your eye to wake you out of it so that you would repent and come to the Lord. Lord, touch my eye with a hot stick. Lift your hands to heaven. Am I getting through? There's an outpouring that brings revival. We're having that. Revival, when it moves out, can become a mighty river, a river of awakening. America needs an awakening. America needs a reformation, a radical transformation across denominational lines, across schools, universities, across cultural barriers. It is God's will. And there'll be Wolfsbane 555 that doesn't want to participate. By the way, there is no real Wolfsbane 555 that I know. I'm using a fictitious name that you notice they don't put their real name because it just like taco hot sauce, just not real hot. You know what I'm talking about? They want to operate in anonymity because they got no backbone and can't stand up against any debate. And somebody say to me, hey, I went to college. This is good for you. You're totally wrong. Here, let me prove it. And then you prove it. And they're like, I don't think I like you. Well, you've just been exposed. I'm lovingly trying to tell you that you're believing a lie. That's why they shot Charlie Kirk. You can't shut him up. You couldn't shut him up. Now he's been shut up, except his blood cries out from the ground. Except his blood cries out from the ground. There's a whole bunch of people, I believe, in Alaska that are going to speak up. They're not going to shut up. They're going to speak up. They're going to testify. They're going to declare. They're going to witness. They're going to lay hands. Come on, stand up on your feet. They're going to lay hands on people. Don't you be seduced by video games. Don't be sucked into some black hole of video. Don't do it. It's an assignment from hell. Put your phone down. Pick the word up and start praying. Ask God to manifest his power in your life. Your faith would be based on the power of God, not on the wisdom of man, not on the eloquence of some preacher, but demonstration of power. There's power encounters coming. Come on. Power encounters coming upon the church. There's power encounters coming upon the community. There's power encounters coming. He's coming. He's looking for somebody to put fire on. He's looking for somebody to release his anointing on. He's looking for a place to rest. He's looking for somebody to flow through. He's looking for it. He's going to use a people who are not afraid of the enemy, but are full of zeal, full of power, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Come on, lift your hands.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.